Thought Bubble Audio.
Hey everyone, Frank here. Just wanted to say a quick word of introduction. We are taking the week off, but we wanted to bring you, in light of this week's release of the new Disney Beauty and the Beast, wanted to bring you this special rebroadcast of one of my favorite episodes about my very favorite Disney movie, the original Beauty and the Beast. So let's take a listen to this little stroll down memory lane, episode 96 about Beauty and the Beast. We'll be taking next week off as well, so take a special listen. But after this, we'll be back with episode 150 in 2 weeks. So take a moment to enjoy this rebroadcast before you watch the new Beauty and the Beast, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. Thanks so much. See you soon. Enjoy.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
I named the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
My dear mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, or if you're in the car, you just stay sitting, as we proudly present Beer with Geeks.
Ding.
Beer with Geeks. Beer with Geeks. Didn't think beyond that line. I can't believe I got that far. How are you today, Frank?
I'm good. How are you?
Stop talking like that. I will not be able to sustain that.
No,
and
no.
I will offend all two of our French listeners.
That is probably true.
Yeah.
I am doing well. How are you, my French friend?
I'm doing very well. Actually, I am French.
I was going to say, you have French heritage.
I have very strong French heritage. There are streets named after my family in France.
That's right.
The Ruse. Right. No, I'm just kidding. All the streets.
Yeah. Rue Frontenac, Rue this, Rue that, Rue everything.
No, just kidding.
It's all his family.
Yeah, actually, my French family, if you're a Harry Potter fan, Nicolas Flamel, the real alchemist, lived in France. The house that you can still visit as a tourist, I almost said tourist trap, as a tourist spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Paris is on the street named after my family.
There you go.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, what else is from France?
What else? Do tell.
Baguettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love baguettes.
Yeah,
oh,
me too.
So good.
Do you like Marie's the best?
I do.
They come out slow, though, don't they?
She's got to hurry up.
Yeah, she's got to hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, where does Beauty and the Beast rate on your pantheon?
Wait, we're talking about Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, I thought we were just talking about French things.
Oh, yeah.
Marie, the baguettes, hurry up. Anyway.
Yeah. Where does it... It is my number one Disney
I figured
film.
People knew we were talking about Beauty and the Beast at this point. If you didn't, then you don't deserve to listen to
this
podcast.
This is not the podcast for you.
This is not the episode. Might just at least be the episode. If you don't know Beauty and the Beast, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Of this interspace. That we are.
This has gone far enough. I'm in charge. Beauty and the Beast. It is my favorite Disney film.
It's your favorite Disney film.
Full stop.
Really?
Easy choice. Anytime anyone asks, I am notoriously bad at picking favorites.
Yeah.
Of anything.
That's so true.
I'm bad
that
at it.
That is so true.
I'm so
that
bad
is
at
one
it.
Of your defining qualities.
Yes,
isn't it?
It's one of my biggest faults. Honestly, is people like, what's your favorite song? Oh, I can't pick it. Ah, oh, there's so many. Like, what's your quote from this movie? I don't know. Can I give you five? Like, I can't. No. I can never just pick
it's
one
so
favorite.
It's so
this
true.
Is my favorite Disney movie.
Always ask you what your favorite
you
is.
You do, and no. I'm always like, I feel really bad, but I don't have one favorite.
I know. But if I said, what are your five favorites?
I could make a top five list. Usually,
you could make a top five. But then you'd be like, oh, but
here's a runner's up.
Another one.
Here's a runner up.
Make it seven.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I do have a hard time narrowing down. Like, I like to be a completist, you know, and like, mention everything. But
every line from the whole movie is my favorite.
My favorite line is the script.
Yeah.
But it is my favorite Disney movie, period. It is the first movie that I ever owned on VHS. Really? When I was 3 years old.
Oh, the hat, the clamshell.
Yeah,
the turtle
yeah, you
shell,
know. Yeah, yeah. The one that like snaps shut.
Shell. Yeah, that one.
Turtles on a half shell. Yeah, like in New Orleans. Oyster on a half shell. Yeah, that the white case that like snaps together. The old VHS cases. Yeah, I had that. I got it for Christmas when I was about three. And from a neighbor, actually. It wasn't even from my parents. It was from next door neighbor. And it was my absolute... Yeah, I was just... I played that tape to death. I didn't wear it out. It still plays. It's still my parents'
really?
House. Really? And it still works.
It's because you were kind and rewounded.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't. That's right.
I couldn't do that in the past. You can't do that in the past tense.
It's true. Be kind and rewinded.
Rewinded, yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
Yeah. Be quound and rewound. Like, this can't be done.
It's hard. But it is, yeah, so it was, you know, one of the first movies I remember seeing.
Wow.
And I watched it so many times in childhood. I really absolutely love it. I was really excited back in 2011, so about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
When it came to theaters in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
I was really excited just to be able to see it on a big screen for the first time.
I think I saw it on the big screen then.
Mm-hmm. I saw it twice.
Did you really?
I saw it once with my sister and once with some friends.
Wow. I didn't know you had this much of an affinity for Beauty
and really?
The Beast.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. No, I love Beauty and the Beast.
Very eye opening.
Yeah. This is why I wanted to talk about it so badly.
Don't get me wrong. I also love Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
It's definitely in my top 8 Disney movies of all time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, it's definitely in my top 3.
Okay.
But I have a hard time pinning other movies into that category. Like, there are others that, like, flip in and out. Like, I'll always say The Sword and the Stone is always in that top 3. Freaking love the first half of that movie. The second half weans away for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay.
But I love that movie.
Me too.
Disney hated it too. That's the weird part.
I know
he hated that movie. No, because it doesn't really work. But I saw it when I was a kid, and sometimes you just look past all the faults of the film to see the magic. Beauty and the Beast has no faults.
It was the first animated film ever nominated for Best Picture.
Yep. Do you know what it lost to? I do.
91, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's a weird loss.
What is it?
Lost to Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
Yeah.
Silence
of the Lambs is a tremendous film.
Yeah.
I get it. But that was a weird year at the Oscars because they were like, here's this movie about a cannibal and an FBI agent. And next to it, also nominated this year, is Disney's Beauty and the Beast about Stockholm Syndrome and singing inanimate objects. You know, like it's pretty.
No, it's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. I have a tremendous attachment to this film. Yeah. And it's actually pretty hard for me to kind of review it objectively as an adult because I really have such emotional attachment to it from childhood, from very, very early childhood.
Well, again, like I said, there's not really a misstep in the film.
No, there's really
not. There's not a moment where you're like, you know, it loses its... Excuse me. It does not really a moment where it loses its stamina.
Right.
It's not a moment where it, you know, you're like, well, that song doesn't really match the rest of these songs. Or, you know, I think there are things in it that maybe that's not true. Like, I think it's a weird misstep that Beast doesn't have a song in the film.
I don't miss it.
I
don't really miss it. I mean, he's got his moments to sing. Something there that wasn't there before, right?
Yeah.
She passed this way. I thought I saw. You know, he's got it as moment, but even in the extended version when they put back in Human Again.
Well, they didn't put it back.
You're right. It was written for the Broadway show.
For the show when they released it on DVD.
Yeah,
then they put it in.
Although, but I think
Blu-ray.
You know what? I do think that they had begun animating it early on.
Oh, and they never
and the song
finished.
was never put in the movie. I don't know if it was ever recorded at the time or if they then recorded it with the original cast after the Broadway show. But I do think they had begun animating it. I think there was some sketches and things like that were begun but never completed.
I grew up with, I don't think I ever told you this, I'm friends with somebody, I grew up with them, we were in school together, whose cousin, I think it's their cousin, maybe family friend, either way, storyboarded Be Our Guest.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Oh.
I know. What a tremendous number to storyboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Storyboarding
in film
for the legendary Jerry Orbach.
That's right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that sequence is, I mean, so much had to happen to make that happen. It was such a, that's a huge accomplishment for its time.
If you watch, because this is the Disney Renaissance era, so if you
it's like firmly
if you
in that era,
right? If you go back, it's the because it was Little Mermaid,
and then Beauty and the Beast,
and then Aladdin, yeah. and on and on, Lion King, and on and on from there, Pocahontas, yeah. All that, yeah, Mulan,
Hunchback,
yeah, all good,
Hercules,
yeah. So, but if you go back and look at those movies from the 80s, like Disney movies from the 80s, the ones that didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Like, look at Black Cauldron.
Sure.
If you go back and look at what Black Cauldron was, don't look at stills or anything like that. Like,
okay.
Watch the film.
Yeah.
And then you go and watch Beauty and the Beast. You get why Beauty and the Beast is such a big deal.
They leapfrog themselves.
Yeah, extremely.
And that's a very, very good thing to point out, because they really were stagnant for many years.
Oh yeah,
for many years. And what's interesting is, if you look back at the history of the studio at that time and the internal politics and machinations, I won't go too far into this, but there were different camps.
Yeah,
there were different camps going on there, and the studio was basically like they knew that they were developing, you know, a couple movies at once. Obviously, it takes a couple of years to make these films, right? And so they're not. While Black Cauldron, maybe, or I don't remember exactly what came out right before Little Mermaid, for example.
Right.
But while that's being made, Little Mermaid's being made, and while Little Mermaid's wrapping up, Beauty and the Beast is ramping up, and so they know these movies are being made at the same time. And so while they know they're making a not great movie, and let's just say Black Cauldron as the example, because I can't remember what the real one was, they know that's not a great movie.
Well, but Black Cauldron is also considered one of their worst films.
It is, yeah. And they knew it. Like,
yeah.
they knew it. They knew it wasn't great, and they knew Little Mermaid was going to be better.
Yep.
But they basically had to be all in on both movies at the same time,
right,
even though they knew this one was going to be better. So you can, the internal things is like teams were fighting over, like, listen, we're over here making Little Mermaid and you're not paying enough attention to us. And the studio is saying, like, well, right now we're marketing Black Cauldron, or again, whatever movie it was. So, like, we have to pretend this is the greatest thing we've ever made, even though we know. Yeah, it's kind of bothering me. You know what I mean? Like, we know this is not great, but we have to market it like crazy because this is what we're making right now. Your time will come. And the same thing. So they knew that they had this big renaissance on the horizon, or at least they knew they had, like, a couple good films in the can that were better. And they had to kind of pretend they didn't know while they were marketing the bad ones and getting those out of the way. And then once those were gone, Oliver and Company. Okay, so it wasn't Oliver and Company, because that one was pretty good. But
it was either...
What's before Oliver and Company?
Go back. Oh, this is the 80s.
Yeah.
Fox and the Hound in 81.
Okay.
Black Cauldron in 85.
Okay.
Great Mouse Detective in 86.
Mm.
Brave Little Toaster in 87.
Oh, yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 88, which doesn't really count.
It doesn't really count.
Oliver and Company in 88.
It was Little Toaster.
In 89.
It was Brave Little Toaster.
Brave Little Toaster was 80. Although Oliver and Company was November 18th, 1988, and Little Mermaid was November 17th, 1989.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those were being made at the same time, but Brave Little Toaster was finishing up while Oliver and Company and
Little Mermaid. I loved the Brave Little Toaster when I was a kid.
I didn't really care for it, but I loved Oliver and Company.
Loved it. I've never seen Oliver and Company, actually.
Oh, Billy Joel.
Yeah, Fox and the Hound, Great Mouse Detective. I love those movies. So even, it's funny, though, because
I don't really care for them, but I didn't see them until I was a little bit older.
Oh, that's interesting, because even, that's like funny, though, because even when you say, like, the 80s wasn't a good time for Disney movies. If you go back, those movies are still well regarded.
Mostly.
Anyway,
most of them are.
But
yeah.
I mean, they're not The Lion King.
Right.
But they're still well regarded.
But they were in a bit of a creative slump. Like, they knew they were not being their most creative.
Yes.
And then these films came and start, and like the teams that were creating them bred this fresh air and bred this air of creativity.
That was the,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was Little Mermaid, DuckTales, Rescue Us Down Under, DuckTales. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. So you had your good and your bad being made at the same time, is my point. And they knew it. And it's so refreshing to see them come out of this cycle of just sort of movies that were okay for the most part.
They weren't the box office smashes.
They weren't the box office smashes
that they were. They needed the company that they needed the Disney.
The company
needed
it to be. Yeah. And they weren't these artistic masterpieces.
Like,
that
can you think that Disney was having a bad time in the market? Like,
right.
Can you even imagine that today?
Right.
With what Disney does.
Right. With what Disney's become. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just amazing. And so yes, you look at those movies and you look at, I mean, even Oliver and Company, which I really enjoy, you look at that and then you look at Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast, and they leapfrog themselves, you know, twice over. Oliver and Company, while an entertaining movie, was not a great technical achievement. It was your standard hand-drawn animation film for the most part.
Yeah, they weren't pushing the boundaries of
animation. That's it, of the craft.
And
yeah.
that's what Disney started with Snow White, because everyone
That's
was
exactly
like, no one's
going
to sit through a feature length
cartoon. An hour long cartoon? Are
no
you
one's
kidding
sit
me?
Through that, yeah. It'll bomb. And then it became one of the biggest movies of all time.
Right.
Even
right.
Even by today's inflation standard,
it's still a very successful.
Yeah.
And
that's also what everybody went to the movies back
that's
then.
That's very true.
Everybody
that's
went.
Very true.
Yeah.
But it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal success in a way that no one. It created a whole new genre, like a whole new type of movie.
Yeah.
Like, kids' movies before that were like Flash Gordon, you know, like serials,
right, exactly.
and things like that. And now you're looking at a time where, okay, we can make a cartoon, and it's not just like the 5-minute short that shows before the feature film. It is the feature film.
Right.
And that didn't exist.
So let's go back to Beauty and the Beast.
Why? I don't understand. Is that what we're talking about today?
Is that what we're talking about today?
So similarly, this created a whole new, like, oh, wow, you can blend CG and cartoon together
and
in this new way.
That's what I wanted to say. What do you think in Beauty and the Beast, in the structure of the, not the structure of the film, but just the scenes of the film itself, what do you think is the thing that when people went, oh.
The ballroom, the
yeah,
dancing.
I was going to say it's the ballroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's spinning
even,
around.
Even today, I'm yeah. like, whoa. This is so, yeah. it's so beautiful. And this was the CG blending.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes.
But it's a shaded out CG.
Yeah.
So it's not jarring to your no. eyes. It's the Iron Giant style
yeah.
where the whole movie's 2D except for the Iron Giant who is 3D,
yeah.
but he's shaded out so he looks 2D even though he's 3D.
You're blending 2D and 3D together to where it's almost hard to tell where one
right.
begins and the next one ends. And yeah, so I would say that scene and the Be Our Guest scene that you mentioned before are two
yeah,
of the
those most. are the two big ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe even the climactic battle on the cathedral
on the
at
cathedral,
the end.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is a
castle,
pretty...
Yeah.
What did I say?
Cathedral, it's fine. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty... It is an outstanding piece
yeah.
of... Like, even... Like, I know what's going to happen in the film.
Right.
Like, it's not a mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not designed to be that way. When you're a kid, you don't know. But,
sure.
But I... Even... There's still so much tension and pathos to all these characters that they accomplished in movies that are sometimes 3 hours long. Don't get.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is this movie is tight at like 70 minutes, 90
minutes.
It's
an 84 minute
movie.
So
it's less than an hour and a half.
Yeah, but it's pretty long for an animated film.
Yes, that's right. Most
yeah.
a lot of these Disney films and animated films tend to be, you know, 75 minutes.
Right, but if you think that, you know, 5-ish minutes of that runtime is devoted to Be Our Guest.
Yes, that's right.
You know, which truly doesn't, like, it adds a bit of depth, but it's not, that's not the crux of the thing. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
most of it's Be Our Guest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do the test. You know, and it's only when you get the life is so
unnerving for a
right.
servant who's not serving.
Hey, 1 second. Stop right now. What are you drinking? This is Beer with Geeks. Well, we kind of just... Loud right through that
life
because
so
I was yeah because
for a
I
servant
was,
who's not serving beer.
Yeah.
Woo! You did your Lumiere impersonation and we just kind of
yeah
lost.
Just went right for it.
I'm drinking.
We
Stan
missed
Adams.
The Gaston number. We missed the pub.
Oh,
number.
We got to talk about that one.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Sam Adams Escape Route.
You're still escaping. Are
I'm
you
still
escaping the Beast Castle?
I am.
Careful, there are wolves.
Ah,
there wolf, there castle. Why are you talking like that? I thought you wanted to. No, I don't want to. Oh, suit yourself. I'm easy.
We quote that so much.
I know. I haven't seen it for a long time.
Me either.
As with our Deadpool episode, I'm still drinking Sam Adams Scotch Ale because it's really heavy.
It's a hot
and
heavy
I'm
beer.
Really full.
Yeah.
And so I've just been drinking this since that last episode. I take it with me. I take one sip before I go to bed every night.
Take it with
it
us.
It lasts.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very good that way.
Yes, it is.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good stuff. So when I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning.
Did you eat them with the shells on, uncooked?
Just to help me get large.
Yeah.
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 yeah. But now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs.
Can you even imagine eating 5 dozen eggs
roughly,
every morning?
Roughly the size of a barge.
Yeah. A hairy barge.
A hairy barge.
Yeah. So hairy. When I was in 7th or 8th grade, we did a little Gaston number for some school pageant, graduation,
okay.
talent show, whatever thing. And the kid who played Gaston put a curly wig down his
oh,
shirt.
Oh, that's funny.
So when he popped the shirt open, it was like a giant push, poof of hair. It was so funny. It's so funny.
And every last inch of me's covered with hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The
songs.
Alan Menken.
I mean, Alan Menken still to this day writing beautiful music. Howard Ashman's lyrics.
Yep.
Awesome. And not just the lyrics, but the musical direction that he gave.
Yes.
You know, giving Paige O'Hara the direction to new and a bit alarming. That was him on his deathbed giving her the direction, like, no, it needs more. And
he's more alarm.
He just said one word to her, Streisand.
Oh.
And she knew to do alarming, you know, give it a little more pizzazz. But like, he was such a genius that he could hear that it needed that.
Sorry. What? I'm not listening. I'm singing the song. What? You thought they needed, what? He needed goats? What?
He knew. What?
I'm sorry.
He knew the song needed more goats. So he said, Streisand. No, he knew. I don't even know what that meant. He knew what the song needed. Like, he knew it needed like something here. Not just like
to pop
and
out.
A bit alarming. It needed more.
Yeah.
So he said, I know, Streisand. Give us some Streisand. Mm. And he just said that to her, and she took it and ran. She's like, oh, I know what you mean, and ran with it. I mean, the songs, really, the songs are what give this era their, to me, in my opinion, give them their, like, differentiate
the flair.
Them. Yeah, well, flair, exactly.
A lot of the ones from the 80s also didn't have...
They weren't really musicals.
They weren't really musicals. And I think that not everyone needs to be. I think in this new genre, like Tangled is an excellent example of a great Disney film that is not a musical and still works on its own merit. But I do think that they had gone away from that music. They had gone away from that.
Yeah.
That musical edge.
And even Oliver and Company, which is a musical, just didn't have the same heart and the same... Didn't have the same feeling. It kind of felt like, you know, a DreamWorks film that would come later or something like that.
Well, it's kind of slumped off with a little bit of Sleeping Beauty, and then, you know, because there were some, and then 101 Dalmatians had even less.
Yeah.
And then Sword in the Stone had some less. And, you know, when you get stuff like Jungle Book and everything like that, but like The Rescuers, Fox and the Hound, all that stuff, like none of that, that was late 70s, early 80s, didn't.
Maybe that's why... I think like, that time wasn't as good because as a kid, they were comparatively more boring to me because they weren't musical.
That's possible.
You know, they didn't have like big musical numbers and they didn't entertain me in that way as a kid. So I remember the 70s and 80s for Disney as being sort of like,
It was like in between the Sherman Brothers and the that's the part where everything gets wonky.
That's you nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Ashman and Menken brought it back.
Yeah, exactly. They just needed that. It needed something. It needed that lifeblood. And not everything is a Menken either. Like Lion King is Hans Zimmer
and
Elton John and Tim Rice.
Tim Rice, yep.
So it's beautiful music.
But they brought it back is the point.
Yes, exactly.
Alan Menken brought it back.
You know, for a couple of films really brought it. And his stuff is tremendously good across all of his films. You can't point at really one over the other.
And you can't point to anything he's done that's not like at least pretty good.
Right. I've never heard an Alan Menken song where I'm like, what were you thinking, Alan Menken?
No,
they're always good.
Yeah, yeah, they're always good. They're always good. And it was Little Shop of Horrors that got interested in him, got Disney interested in him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where they saw Little Shop of Horrors and they're like, oh, we need something like that, but without all the horror.
without the human-eating plants from space.
Exactly, yeah.
We need a lot of little shops, but not the horrors.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more Suddenly Seymour.
Yeah, we need some Suddenly Seymours. We need some dentists.
Yes, exactly.
But
no Audrey too. So yeah, they. That's where we got Beauty and the Beast. That's where we got all these films. I do you have a favorite character in the film?
It's an interesting question. I go back and forth. Belle is my favorite Disney princess.
Yeah,
and
me too.
So I think she's one of the most well-rounded Disney princesses.
Yes.
She's very independent on her own, and she comes to this place of love out of, you know, not necessarily of duty and responsibility, but that's how it kind of starts. You know, she's a dutiful daughter.
Yes.
Maybe in a selfless way. And so her
self-sacrifice.
So her love ends up being like the love that starts with the love, the selfless love to her father then transfers to the selfless love that she has for the Beast.
The Beast, yeah.
And so that part of her, plus she likes to read, which is always, you know, readings for nerds, but you know, still, you know, it's all good.
She's so odd.
She's, yeah. But then she goes to dad. Anyway, I don't know if I have a favorite character, though, because I could say, because sometimes that predicates itself on the song. Like, I love the song Gaston, and every time Gaston sings, it is just the best.
Yes.
But he's an asshole.
He's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a terrible person. Right. How could you read this? There are no pictures. And I say that about books all the time. It's so I really connected them on a
comic
deep
book
level.
Fans.
Yeah,
really,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you read this? There are no pictures. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I might tweet that later. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I like Gaston a lot too, but not, you know, in a love to hate him kind of way.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Totally. My favorite character is probably Lumiere.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but right before you said that, I was like, it's probably Cogsworth because he's just so exact. You know,
yeah,
he's
I find so him amusing. I love Cogsworth.
He's
too.
Just really amusing, but I think the two of them work so well together.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
excellent foils for one another.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
So I don't think I don't like Cogsworth as much without
That's
Lumiere
true.
Yes. And vice versa.
That's true.
Yeah. But Lumiere to me is always kind of smarmy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like in the opposite.
But he's such a...
He's great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I love Lumiere. But
he's a lovable con man.
Yeah, he is exactly what he is. He's totally a con man. And yeah, but he's kind of sexual too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like with the feather duster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's pretty absurd. So two things. Do you like the castle better before or after the transformation? I like it before. I think it looks way cooler.
When it's dark?
When it's dark and scary.
Yeah. I mean, I think I do too, but that's most of the movie. So like,
yeah,
I,
except
know.
For the library for some reason. It's just an untouched, beautiful library.
Yeah. Once he opens the windows, it's like, here you go.
Yeah.
Or opens the shades, I mean.
Yeah.
Curtains.
No. I think he does. No,
curtains.
Yeah, it's just the curtains.
Yeah, he opens
yeah.
curtains. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I was a kid... I didn't like that the Beast transformed back into human being.
That's so funny.
Isn't that because I was like, ew, his weird big toes and his long
That's
hair.
That's true. He does have weird toes.
He has weird toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He like stretches them out. Like he's like,
yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
toes. Yeah. He's like that guy that would get those socks, like the individual toe socks.
And he's like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like she fell in love with the Beast guy. Like, who is
she
this?
Didn't fall in love
who
with you.
This? Who is this character?
Blondie.
With his long hair and his beautiful giant yeah. eyes. God.
What's his real name supposed to be? Is it Eric? Is it John? Is it Tim?
Eric is
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I think he just goes, Belle, it's me.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a name.
They don't say it, but there is a real name, like canonically somewhere, but they don't say it. And she never says it in the film. It is you. I don't really like him either in his human form. And
his name is Adam.
All right. I don't know him from Adam.
Boom.
I don't like him either. And I feel like Disney knows that too, because anything you see is always like any creative, anytime you see that character, it's always him in the suit that he's wearing in the ballroom scene.
Yeah.
Right. Anytime in a video game or anytime in
yeah.
like anything, like they made the sequel, right? The Christmas mm-hmm. sequel, they made it a prequel that happens or like, you know, midquel that happens during the time of
right.
the,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
because
like,
well, the story,
the interesting stuff happens.
The story's over once
right.
they're,
right.
Once they're together,
right.
The rest of it doesn't.
You can't pull a Little Mermaid 2 and be like, and then she became the queen. And this mm-hmm. is how they, like, you can't do that. That's
no, it's unnecessary. Stupid. It's dumb.
Yeah. It wasn't good when Little Mermaid did it. It wouldn't have been good if you did it. No. I will say that I do rather enjoy the ballroom scene in particular, because when I was a kid.
Andrew Lansbury.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tale as old as time, mm-hmm. man.
That's a joke
voice
that never
of an
gets
angel.
Old either. When someone's like, oh, that's weird. That's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
everyone loves that joke.
You can
joke.
Excuse it, anything.
Yeah.
I had this little flip book. I think someone gave me as a like a stock.
I had
no
that
way.
Flip book.
No.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So
I absolutely had
two-sided,
that book.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God. This is so weird. So, yeah, it's a flip book. For those of you who don't know, it's a little flip book. I mean, like, like, as if you turn your iPhone sideways, it was about that size, mm-hmm. right? And it
but
is...
not your iPhone, not your 6 Plus.
Not your 6 Plus, but yeah. like an iPhone 6 or 6S. You turn it sideways, It was about that size. And on one side, if you look at it, it was in color, the full color sequence, particularly the part where the camera like spins around them and you see like, you know, I remember particularly Belle's dress like being right in the mm-hmm. full view of the camera, right? And then you flip the book over and it was exactly the same sequence, exactly the same shot, but the pencil sketch
yep.
of exactly the same thing. So you have the full color thing on one side and the pencil drawing on the other. And it was so cool to see like literally how those drawings looked when they were first drawn and then flip it over and see it full color yeah, finished shot.
It's so cool.
It was so cool. I had another one too.
I had a Snow White one, okay. I think. I'm pretty sure it was Snow White.
Okay.
Actually, that might have been an early Disney sketchbook.
Okay.
But it was about that size. I don't know. I have to go check. That's probably somewhere in my parents' house.
Yeah, I have no idea where they'd be.
Oh, yeah. My parents will find them. Man, flip books were the best.
That's so weird that we had the same one, though.
Yeah. It's almost like Disney put out a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, I know. But I've never met anybody else who remembers
I've
that.
I haven't thought about that for years.
I haven't thought about years either.
What's your favorite song in
Well, Be Our Guest is probably the favorite song, but we've mentioned that a lot already, so
I mean, it can't be your favorite.
It is my favorite. It is my favorite.
Yeah.
No, I can definitively say it's my favorite. Yeah. But I don't have much more to say about it, so
right.
my second favorite would then be,
you don't need to pick a
something
second
there. No, okay. I know it. It's just like, what's the title? It's something there that wasn't there before to the title?
Something
Must
there.
Must be something it, there.
It's something there. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my second favorite for sure. But this movie, I have a lot of like easy, like, that's my favorite movie. That's my favorite song.
Something
that's my favorite
there
scene, that's
is,
my favorite character.
Is my second favorite song
okay.
as well. My first is Belle.
So oh, nice.
That, just
yeah,
that opening song yeah. is, it just, oh, the whole thing. It's got all the big pieces that you need. Yeah. It's got all the fun. Sing it anywhere. Actually, when I was in France a couple of years ago now, quite a while. We were in a very small French village, and the bunch of us just started. We just walked down the street singing that song, and it
That's
was
great.
Amazing. And there was it was just after a snowstorm, so everyone was. And it's France; it doesn't really snow there, so everyone was like, "There's an inch on the ground. What do we do? We stay inside forever."
Trip. I remember you going on this trip.
Yeah,
and seeing
so
pictures.
Yeah, and being from New England, like, yeah, what's the point?
Yeah,
so. Yeah, right. So okay. So the streets were clear; nobody was around. So we're like, "Oh, we're just gonna have a blast with this." It was awesome.
Yeah. It wasn't like everything closed. Everywhere you went, stuff was closed.
Everything was closed.
Yeah,
that's yeah. Funny. Yeah, it was like the beast had come to town. Yeah.
Crazy old Maurice.
There's another one that was crazy
old Maurice. And we quote that a lot. Le Fou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime.
I know.
The crazy old coot is Belle's father.
Wacky old coot is Belle's father. What did I say? Oh, crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Wacky old coot is Belle's father. And his sanity is only so-so.
Anyway, when he said, okay,
wheels in my,
all right. So when I was a kid, Kraft macaroni and cheese, right? One of the shapes they used to have were like these little like circles with these weird like pattern designs and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
We used to call them wheels.
Yeah.
And so when I watched,
it looks like a wagon wheel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah. So when I watched Beauty and the Beast, when I was a kid, he'd be like, the wheels in my head have been turning. My mind would always go to the macaroni and cheese, Kraft like, macaroni and cheese wheels.
And because like, they're in your head.
Yeah, they're in your
them.
Head. The wheels. Well, when you're a kid, you take everything like yeah, as you literally. Know it. You don't get metaphors,
right?
Or, you know, oh, similes man. Or anything That's... like that. Analogies. You don't get that stuff. So it's like the wheels in my head. I've been turning. Squish, squish. You know, night cheese.
No, that's one mac and cheese.
Yeah. Right.
Oh man.
An excellent. It's an excellent.
It's a top notch
film.
It's a top notch.
It's an excellent Broadway show as well.
I never got to see the Broadway show.
It is. I think it's their most faithfully adapted. They didn't really change or do anything.
It was
to
the first
it.
One, wasn't
they,
it?
Yeah, they just added songs.
Yeah,
but everything else is the same.
Was it the first one, or was Lion King the first one that was adapted?
No, Beauty and the Beast is
it was.
First.
Okay,
yeah, pretty
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I remember when it closed. I was very disappointed because I never got a chance to see it, and then. It came to Boston
very limitedly. It was like that one weekend.
One week.
Yeah.
One week.
Yeah.
It was like 10 performances or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the demand was so high and the tickets were so expensive. I just couldn't.
And
I
had already seen it, so I didn't bother.
Yeah. But I would have loved to have
seen it twice. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I did get to see the half hour version that they do in Disney World.
Oh, that's fun.
They do a little, or at least they used to. Last time I was there, you know, almost 10 years ago now, they used to do it in, Disney Hollywood Studios.
Cool.
So, in Florida. So, yeah. Yeah.
The wheels on my head. Now I'm just going to sing the rest of the song. But
I know, me too.
Anyway, you can find us on the interwebs.
Yeah.
At
BeerWithGeeks.
At Twitter,
pretty much.
Facebook, Gmail, Overcast, iTunes Podcast, Satchel Media, all the fun places, BeerWithGeeks. Rate and review us. We appreciate love and star reviews or little hearts.
That's right.
Depending on where you're viewing us, all the fun places. Send us a message. What do you think of BDBs? What's your favorite Disney movie? All the fun things. All the fun things and all the fun places.
Right.
Something. That's a song for Beauty and the Beast, right?
No.
Nope, didn't think so. Well, anyway, till next time. Right?
Cheers.